The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, October 30, 2018, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. My name is Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Coming up on today's show, Buzz Burbank from Buzz Burbank News and Comment is here today. Remember the olden days? Remember the olden times when we were talking about Trump using a personal cell phone that was unsecured? That was Thursday. That was Thursday! Meanwhile, Trump announced he intends to repeal the 14th Amendment via executive order, to which the entire country screamed, "No, you can't! No!" Trump also refuses to rule out suspending habeas corpus in the Posse Comitatus Act. It's just all, it's making me laugh right now, because if I wasn't laughing, I'd be crying. And it looks like Roger Stone is using his Trumper youth to attack Robert Mueller. But don't worry, it's all gibberish, I assure you. And the midterms are just days away now, and now you can remind yourself to vote every time you wash by picking up Bubble Genius's Vote Soap. It's a 5-ounce bar of sweet-smelling soap, artistically carved in the shape of the word vote, with a third of the proceeds going to resistance candidates across the country. Only $7 from Bubble Genius. But use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order, only from the newly redesigned BubbleGenius.com. And now,
Bob,
let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Happy Halloween.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy, happy Halloween.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Watchful eye.
Oh, crap. What the hell's going on? Slow news day again today. The Trump crisis day 649. Seven days until the 2018 midterms. 1 week from right now, it all happens. It's going to be one of the biggest watershed moments in American history, or at least modern American history. I love that qualifier, too, by the way. Oh, look, right over there. It's TV's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
It's almost time, kids. Almost time to vote. Hi, yeah. Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Stand by for the horror-thon at 9.
Yeah, or sooner. Oh, man, I almost didn't make it on time today.
Yeah.
I had to stop by the prison and drop off some flowers. poor Whitey Bulger, Boston mobster Whitey Bulger, has served out his life sentence at the age of 89, found in his cell this morning. Oh. And I wanted to pay my respects, naturally.
So sad. Yeah, so very sad. So sad that we lost Whitey Bulger. I'm going to miss him so much.
He killed like 11 guys, and it took him 16 years to catch him.
Yeah, time to change your cover photos on Facebook, everybody. To your
everybody put up a black and white of Whitey Bulger.
That's what we ought to do. I swear to God, I know.
Just
I know.
For the day, you know. Change the subject if possible. It seems That's to right. work for some people.
I should note that I received my Chris Lavoie Banded Masculine scented candles the other day. Those of you who know the Stephanie Miller Show, of course, know Chris Lavoie from that show. And he's selling these great, great scented candles called Banded Masculine. And they're all scents that guys like. Like, for example, here I got my... Right here, this in the lovely, well-packaged tin, I've got my Hunting Lodge scented candle. Oh, I've got my leather scented candle.
Have you ever been to a Hunting Lodge? Do you have any idea what that really smells like?
It smells wonderful, does it? Doesn't smell at all like dead animals.
Smells like man.
Also, freshly cut grass. That's my favorite one right here.
Oh, that sounds like a good one. Who doesn't enjoy that?
We're currently burning the campfire scented candle from Chris Lavoie. And
nice.
And here. here's the, this is the easiest way to get them now. If you go to BobSeska.com, just beneath the logo, right next to our Amazon link, I put up there a Banded Masculine link that'll take you to the Amazon page for Banded Masculine, where you can not only buy Chris Lavoie's incredible scented candles, but then we get a teeny tiny commission for some of those things too through our Amazon link.
Yeah, you've just gone full Glengarry Glen Ross here. It's always always be closing with you.
That's right. I'm always selling something. So you know, when I was a wee lad, Buzz, I remember talking about the unsecured cell phone that Biff was using. But
yeah, we were young and innocent back then. Oh, on God. Thursday.
I don't even know where to start, so I'm going to let you decide where we should start. Should it be Shepard Smith speaking the truth about the so-called invasion? We have that audio here.
Really? You know, he comes through occasionally.
Yeah, once in a while. It's the weirdest goddamn show on Fox News Channel. It's such an aberration. Because
one of these things does not belong here.
Yeah, something like the truth. It's weird that there's the truth there for an hour on Fox News. But that's, of course, attached to this birthright citizenship thing, which I think is the biggest news story happening right now.
That's the certainly the freshest thing in a series of horrible, horrible things by this president, be they threats or you know, threats to act or actions themselves.
Yeah. So there's this interview with Vandehei and Jonathan Swan from Axios, where they sat down, and it looks like it's some sort of cooperative venture. Is this part of isn't there like an HBO show with these guys? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, that's what this clip is from. That's how we learned that Trump plans to, I don't know, bypass the 14th Amendment to the Constitution and deny citizenship to children born in the U.S. to non-citizens.
Jesus.
And he said, and a typical of his lies based on stupidity, which is a category of Trump lie, a lie based on stupidity. Mm-hmm. He said the U.S. is the only country in the world that allows this. He's only off by 32 countries. It's 33 countries allow this, including Canada and Mexico.
Yeah.
So, he's his own social media misinformation campaign.
he's maybe thinking of the country of right.
It's a one man operation to spread, often through ignorance, misinformation, and all of his people, of course, eat it up, even though they are a minority and perhaps shrinking somewhat in number. That's what this is all about anyway, in my opinion, is that it's for show. It's just as it was for, you know, so I was talking to somebody about this today. I said it was for show, because they brought up him taking the oath to uphold the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that was for show in his case, just as this is for show.
Right, right.
You know, and it's all, if with Trump, it's all a show.
Yeah, this is all about fluffing his base. This is all about giving them some nugget of racism now that they can continue to attach themselves to. And it's about the midterms. I mean, this is the same thing that Trump was thinking.
Well, Bob, it's a national emergency. The country's being invaded by people who are walking toward us at a rapid pace, and they're about 1,000 miles, 900 miles away at this point.
Yeah,
and but they're walking quickly, Bob. So, of course, they won't be here in time for the midterms. The troops will be at the border in time for the midterms, but the migrants won't.
Yeah,
and in fact, Congress will be back in session by the time the migrants arrive here.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's, you know, this, none of this, the fact that this is all really bluster for the election doesn't make it any less frightening. And I don't mean to diminish that, because to threaten the Constitution in this way, and I think it's worth making a big deal out of, because people need to be alerted and alarmed at even the prospect of this.
Yeah.
Know that it's just a prospect, we think. Well, you know, I mean, we're 98% sure it's just talk.
Well, you know, I've been having this debate on Twitter, which is always the best place to have a debate, because it's always so thorough and people, it's always so nuanced on Twitter.
Well-reasoned, calm and well-reasoned, yes.
Right, right. So I've been having this debate on Twitter about the 14th Amendment, and in terms of the Supreme Court's ability to allow an executive order like the one Trump is threatening to sign, which I don't think he's actually going to sign. I think this is all cosmetic for the midterms. But the fact is that, you know, if he did sign an executive order along these lines, it would get struck down in court. There's no way the courts would allow this to happen.
And 5 minutes.
But of course, the administration would continue to kick this up and up and up until it got to the Supreme Court, where, you know, of course, the administration has a 5-4 ideological advantage there. But the question is whether or not a guy like John Roberts or even Neil Gorsuch would allow the president to unilaterally repeal one of the amendments to the Constitution. I don't think that's ever going to happen. And then the counter argument to that is, oh, well, they may just find a loophole. They may find something having to do with the idea of jurisdiction of the 14th Amendment. And if the jurisdiction of the United States doesn't apply to illegal immigrants or whatever you want to call them, undocumented workers and so on, whatever parlance they're using, the fact is that they could exploit that loophole where they say, oh, but this only applies to people who come to the United States legally. It doesn't apply to people who are the children of, you know, as they call it, illegals. So that may be the loophole that could be exploited here. But I still don't see how that could actually get properly adjudicated inside the Supreme Court with any reasonable justice.
Yeah, agreed. And I wish I had a list in front of me of the number of things the Trump or the Trump administration have threatened to do and have even drawn up executive orders for, but never implemented. This happens time and again, and it's usually for a political purpose without ever actually being enforced. Again, I do not mean to diminish the horror of what is being proposed here. I think we're, and again, with a little question mark, mostly safe from it actually happening.
I think
that more people are aware of that or coming to realize that that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's less about what's actually going to happen, and it seems to me as if it's more about what Trump is capable of trying to do. This is more about, to me, the intent of the president at this point, in less than 24 hours, in fact, I would say in less than 12 hours, Donald Trump not only has refused to say whether or not he would suspend habeas corpus. He has refused to say whether or not he would suspend some of the aspects of the Posse Comitatus Act to allow these soldiers to go to the United States border, whether they're armed or unarmed, regardless. He's refusing to say all of that, okay? And the habeas thing is actually the biggest deal of all of this. I mean, suspending habeas corpus because he thinks there, or because he wants his red hats to believe there's an invasion. He would suspend habeas corpus just to win the goddamn election. And what that means is this is something that, again, this isn't Barack Obama suspending habeas. This isn't even George W. Bush suspending habeas, which, you know, we could argue that George W. Bush tried to do the same thing with regard to detainees. But the fact is that this is Donald Trump, and Donald Trump doing something like that would never relinquish those powers. He's demanding, in fact, grabbing for additional extra constitutional, extra legal powers.
Absolutely.
In the face of what he considers to be a national emergency, an invasion by these women and children marching through the Mexican high desert. The thing is that he would never relinquish these rights. He would never relinquish these powers. And then we would be stuck with, you know, this giant step toward full on fascist autocracy. And, you know, I said on Facebook the other day, Buzz, and it bears repeating that, you know, when I started writing about politics, I don't know what, 30 years ago, something like that.
High school.
I never thought in a million years I would be sitting here 30 years later covering the rise of global fascism in our time, and least of all right here inside the United States. And I've been very hesitant to use the F word, so to speak, in this context.
But it's here. It's clear. I mean, as scholars will tell you, anybody who knows what they're talking about will tell you this is fascism. Brazil.
Brazil is a big deal.
Just after the synagogue shooting, Trump tweeted congratulations to Brazil's new right-wing president who has denigrated women, gays, and minorities. And this is Trump's, again, to use his words, my kind of guy. And he's found another dictator to love. But these dictators are popping up all over the world. You're seeing this rise of fascism globally. Something that you and I thought could never happen.
Yeah.
We used to think it can't happen here. Hello. it's kind of here.
Yeah.
We can stop it or we can let it grow. And I think we know what we need to do here. First of all, watch each other's backs. And I see a lot of Americans doing that. I see Gentiles standing up for Jews. I see white people standing up for blacks and Latinos. Mm-hmm. And about damn time. But it does one's heart good to see it happen. We sink or swim together here, and I think this is just not going to be tolerated. I think, and I hope, in some ways, I hear that Trump will get worse after losing the midterm, at least in the House. That is possible. Mm-hmm. But the hope that I cling to is that the House becomes lame duck until January,
mm-hmm.
When the Democrats finally take over. And in the meantime, Mueller, I have my fingers crossed, Mueller will release a string of criminal indictments as soon as the election is. We're two or three days past the election, maybe sooner. I don't know. But I think I know that he's been very busy, that Manafort's given him a lot of information over this period of time. I guess what I'm saying is the resistance to this president is going to be just as strong as, if not stronger. In fact, I think considerably stronger than his reaction to the election.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think and I hope that things are going to be different in a better way after the election.
This is partly good news. It's weird to frame it that way, but the good news is that, you know, there's not going to be a switch that's thrown and then suddenly fascism. Right. It's not going to be like that. It's, you know, the move toward fascism in this country in particular is going to be a slow plodding one. And the fact is that a slow plodding move to fascism can be blocked at many, 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 many different stages down the road.
Social media has a whole lot to do with the spread of hate.
Yeah.
16 million tweets tweets and posts on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
1,600 just in the last month on Instagram. Mm-hmm. This has all increased. This misinformation and hatred has increased since the mail bomber and since the synagogue shooting. The social media companies have made some efforts to tamp this down. I mean, efforts that are not to be scoffed at. Unfortunately, they are still not nearly enough.
Yeah.
What I'd say is the fascism in your mirror is closer than it would appear. And although it is slow moving, I agree with you on that. And I agree that it's slow moving enough that we can stop it. I think I'm surprised again, as I often am, that it has come this far already.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, we should bear in mind, too, that some of the experts following what happened in Brazil are suggesting that the rise of fascism there and this fascist new president in Brazil is all a consequence, or partly a consequence, at least, of social media and specifically Facebook. They're calling that the Facebook election down there.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just like, good Lord, I tweeted the other day and bears repeating again that bring back the gatekeepers. I feel like right now the internet experiment is rapidly dying, and it's, you know, it's obviously not going to go away. But the fact is that the internet as a force for good is starting to lose a little bit of its luster, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I think the potential is still there, just as the potential has always been for this kind of evil. I think, like I said, some effort is being made. I think we will see more. I think people's awareness, you know, having an educated populace, we don't just need news consumers, for example, in the news business. We need people who understand what they're hearing. You know, we need you need to know that you're really reaching people. This is a very difficult challenge for us, but I think we can meet and beat fascism. Like I said, it does my heart good to see so many people rising up against this, to see so many people, Gentiles alongside Jews, rising up against what we just witnessed in Pittsburgh. And, of course, the outrage continues over the bombings. And let us not forget also the killing of two black grocery shoppers in Kentucky. In the midst of that, while everybody else was focused on the bombs, a guy who hates black people went to a Kroger and shot up the place and killed a couple of people. And these are all three of these. There was three acts of hate in a single week.
Yeah.
And so something has already bubbled to the surface, and that's why I say the fascism is closer than it appears.
Yeah, and with those incidents, all three of those incidents taking place, there's obviously been a secondary conversation about laying blame and discussing what kind of responsibility the president has in all of this, in which I say he absolutely has a responsibility in these cases, because you know what? He didn't pull the trigger in any of these situations. He didn't pull the trigger in Pittsburgh. He didn't pull the trigger at that Kroger. He didn't send the mail bombs. But you know what he did? His language and the way he communicates to his base legitimized this.
Made it okay.
Legitimized the ideas, right? That contributed to these attacks. The ideas that motivated these attacks. These were all legitimate ideas that were prior to Donald Trump, were illegitimate ideas. There wasn't any large groups of people wandering around going, hey, you know what? I think the news is the enemy of the people. So let's send bombs to the news because Donald Trump says it's okay to go around referring to them as the enemy of the people.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to see because it's like this is not a rerun from 1939.
Yeah.
Or is it? Journalists threatened and sent bombs. Prominent politicians sent bombs as threats. Black people shot to death, immigrants threatened, Jews gunned down in the biggest American massacre of its kind ever. Does any of this sound familiar to anyone? it is frightening that we have been here before and that we are here again.
It really is.
Terribly, terribly frightening. And this has to be the blame, in my opinion, lies with Trump for creating this hateful atmosphere, this uncivil. I mean, we were not as civil as we ought to have been before him. He has thrown gasoline on that.
Yeah.
So he's very much to blame for where we are right now. Social media is very much to blame. The misinformation and propaganda and hatred that spread on social media shares the blame. And the rest of the blame, I think, goes to those of us who haven't paid attention. And not to make myself some kind of hero, but I think I may have even stolen this unwittingly or half-wittingly. That makes sense from someone else. But I thought it was important to say, and I hope other people share it and spread it and say it too. And that is, if they come for you, they have to go through me.
Yeah,
and that goes for immigrants and gays and transgenders and black Americans. I don't care, Jews. I don't care who you are. If you're a group or journalists, because that's another group. There, look at all these groups that are being targeted, we can unify. We can stand together. We can have each other's backs.
Yeah.
So I have that kind of faith, but I am, I think, rightly terrified of how far we've come in this horrible direction.
Well, what happens is these ideas, just by the fact that he's putting them out there, suspending habeas, suspending posse comitatus, and all the rest. I didn't, for a second there, I forgot what he did today. What did he do today?
Denying citizenship.
Citizenship. There.
To kids. Birthright. Birthright.
There are too many goddamn things. And what the intent
trying
is.
To keep up.
Exactly. But the intent, though, is to make them so commonplace, the idea of suspending habeas and all of it, It's so commonplace that it just gets normalized, and therefore it's like, it's just another thing. Oh, he suspended habeas. Oh, I'm outraged. And then suddenly the next thing comes along and we forget, just like I just did, what the previous thing was. And
do you know how many Americans tune out if you use the phrase posse comitatus?
Yeah, I know.
Or you use the phrase habeas corpus? Because I, and I'll be frank, I knew what habeas corpus meant in terms of a murder. But I didn't know what it meant in terms of this situation.
Yeah.
And so I had to research that. Even I didn't know. Most Americans wouldn't bother to look that up. And mm-hmm. their eyes glaze over and they start thinking about dinner if you try to tell them something about that. So you have that segment of America who's not paying attention. I think to some degree it becomes normal to them. It certainly becomes normal to his base. But it will never become normal to you or I or the people listening to this show. Or a lot of the people who are clearly going to be voting a week from today.
Yeah, yeah. And then in the same breath yesterday, Buzz, Sarah Sanders not only announced that or refused to say whether Trump is going to suspend habeas corpus, which, by the way, in case you don't know, habeas corpus is the mandate that the state inform a suspect of why he or she has been arrested and incarcerated.
Right.
You have the right to know why that is occurring. And when you suspend that, you can basically indefinitely detain Americans. You basically disappear American citizens and lock them away forever and ever and ever and never have to charge them with an actual crime. That's indefinite, what suspension of habeas
means. Indefinite detention without a hearing, exactly.
Yeah.
And as Bob indicated, it has been done before,
yep.
briefly and usually reasonably, with the possible questionable exception of W, who tried something similar but milder than what we're seeing here with Trump. And Bob's other point is very valid too. I'm going to ignore you for a minute, Bob, and talk to people. And the other point is that if he does this, it opens a door. It's something that he could leave perhaps permanently in place, really changing the way justice works in this country. It's a one man change of the Constitution in a couple of ways, including also that 14th Amendment that provides a birthright citizenship.
Yeah, well, in addition to all of that, you want to talk about an idea that's not necessarily normalized, but an idea that's right. thrust out there so that 40% of the American voting population will repeat it over and over again as fact, even though it's not fact. This is what Sarah Sanders said right after she refused to say whether or not they'll suspend habeas corpus.
When 90% of the coverage of everything this president does is negative, despite the fact that the country is doing extremely well, despite the fact that the president is delivering on exactly what he
Here
said he
go.
Was going to do
for it.
If elected, and he got elected by an overwhelming majority of 63 million Americans who came out and supported him and wanted to see his policies enacted, he's delivered on that.
No, he did. He did not win a majority in the election. But you know what? If you say that, the response from the red hats, the response from literally 40 to 45% of the American voting population is, that's fake news. He clearly won a majority in the election. Donald Trump, 63 million voters were a majority in the popular vote in the election. And that is an utter and complete lie. White House has not retracted that statement. They have not clarified that statement. Nothing has been said about that whatsoever. So that gets thrown into the mix. That's just in the gigantic blender of madness that Sarah Sanders is playing with in the press room. And that every red hat who happened to be watching that segment of the White House press briefing yesterday walked away thinking, oh, well, now that the White House is saying it, I guess it's okay for us to say it too. They have legitimized this idea, this complete 100% falsehood that Donald Trump won the election with a majority of the popular vote. He did not. But of course, right. this is the world we live in now, where there are two histories. There's the red hat history, and then there's the history that the normals follow. And
well,
that's the accurate
one. We'll see.
One.
I mean, this is worse than Watergate, but there are still a lot of similarities to that period of time. And let's let history be the judge of how history will play out. As far as Sarah Sanders, I thank you for bringing her up, because I know that she will never go to prison. But I hope she enjoys, and you know I'm being sarcastic here, I hope she enjoys her life when this is over.
Yeah.
Because history and her neighbors will not be kind to her when this is over, and it will at some point be over.
Yep, I hope. It's just a matter of time, I think. It's just a matter, ultimately, the bright side is that this will pass. It's just a matter of, will it pass while we close the door behind us, or will it pass and that door will be left open for the threat that some new awfulness will come through in its wake. You know what I mean? And yeah. And that's what concerns me the most, that it's not just Donald Trump. It's the next Donald Trump and the Donald Trump after
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I know,
Bob. Well, we have enough trouble without you bringing more.
That's true. I don't mean to, add further crisis to the crisis that already exists.
Let's put out this fire before the next one breaks out.
But Jesus, what did he do again today? Oh, that's right. He threatened to suspend birthright citizenship, which is never going to work. It's never going to happen.
Call it, Tuesday.
That's right. All right. Well, let's talk about shaving. Here's a crazy thing that I did when I was shaving with my Harry's razor last night.
Oh, boy.
You know what? I nearly shaved off the fingernail on my index finger with my Harry's razor. I don't know how I did this. I was shaving my face. You know how sometimes you reach up with your hand and you kind of move your skin in a way to get a hard to reach spot? Well, I did that and I got spastic with my razor and moved it too fast down in a downward motion, hit that fingernail on my index finger on my left hand. And there's a gash right in the middle of that fingernail. And I could have taken the fingernail entirely off. I don't know what this says about Harry's razors, but...
Are you all right? Should you be trusted with a product like this?
I don't know. I'm getting to question whether or not. I mean, I'm injuring my hands while I'm shaving my face. I don't know how the hell that happens, but... Needless to say, Harry's razors are super comfortable in my hand and on my face, even though I risk injuring myself every time I pick up a sharp object. It's the closest shave imaginable, and I'm not making that up. The guys who co-founded Harry's were fed up with the high-priced razors they were seeing in stores with their silly and unnecessary features. They knew it comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts, and it can slice right through your finger. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the world's highest quality blades for nearly 100 years. And by selling direct to you on the internet, they can offer much lower price than the leading brand, more than 50% lower. And Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. Right now, you can get a trial gift set valued at $13 as part of a special offer to my listeners. It includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Harry's weighted ergonomic handle, the 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip, the trimmer blade, which is incredible, and a travel cover, and Harry's rich lathering, great-smelling shave gel. My listener, oh, by the way, on the shave gel, they may have some winning lottery numbers for you on the tubes of shave gel. I don't know if you noticed that, Buzz, but winning lottery numbers are part of your Harry's razor experience.
I did not know that. I'm in.
There you go. My listeners can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/BOBC, and if you win the lottery, you can give 10% to me. Thank you very much. Go to harrys.com/BOBC to redeem your offer to help support the show and let them know that I sent you. harrys.com/BOBC.
The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yep, welcome back to our Tuesday show. The great Buzz Burbank is here from Buzz Burbank News and Comment, BuzzBurbank.com.
I'd like to request Monster Mash.
No.
Well, it sounded like maybe this Munsters theme came from your CD of Halloween songs.
That's right. I cannot bring myself to play that goddamn song. It's just like
bless you. I'm glad you didn't. I wasn't serious, Bob.
And I promise I'm going to be wheeling out all my Christmas elements after Thanksgiving, and I promise I will never ever play. You know, I'm not even going to say the name of that song. Yeah. It's not the dogs. It's the one about grandma that I will never.
Yeah. Well, I really either one of those will send me running.
By the way, make sure to go shopping through our Amazon link at BobSeska.com. Yeah. It's the all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo. It's right next to the Banded Masculine link. where you can get all of Chris Lavoie's scented candles. And I've changed. We have a brand new URL for our Patreon page. We have a brand new address. You can still use patreon.com/Bob and Chez.
Same as always.
If you please, you can use patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Mm-hmm. So use either one of those links and they'll still work. If you don't want to remember either of those things, you can still go to bobseska.com and click the all caps Patreon link just beneath the logo, right next to the Amazon link, which is right next to the Band of Masculine link. Lots
you
of links for
miss
you.
It. You can't miss it.
Right. Thank you. Okay. I need to ask you as a journalist, as a news guy, Buzz, mm-hmm. you watched the Axios interview, that clip with Donald Trump, right?
I saw the clip, but that's all. I look forward to the show, yeah.
What did you think of the interviewing skills of Mr. Jonathan Swan from Axios?
I'll be honest, I did not see that part. I only saw Trump's response. I apologize. I look forward to seeing that. What did you think of his skills?
It was a case study in how not to interview Donald Trump.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Although it did elicit a newsworthy response, so that's something.
I mean, those of you who've seen the clip, I'm not going to play the clip because we all know what he said and we all know. I don't want to give any more airtime to Donald Trump. Right. Besides, everyone's Agreed. Tuning out every time Donald Trump's voice is heard on the show. So, I'm hesitant to even have him saying my name anymore.
Bob.
Oh, no. Don't do that, Mr. President.
Bob.
Oh, he's done this so many times in the last 24 hours. It's driving me nuts.
Bob.
Tapping me on the shoulder and getting my attention. But here's what you don't do when you interview Donald Trump. You don't smile at him. You don't play around with him. You don't cop out and say his gibberish is in dispute. You come to the table armed with facts and you use those facts. This technique, this way of interviewing Donald Trump that is on display with Jonathan Swan at Axios and Jim Vandehei from Axios, this is how Donald Trump keeps getting away with
it. He can't keep getting away with it.
He does. He does, and the press lets him do it sometimes.
He can't keep getting away with it.
I know, and the great irony is that the alleged fake news, those dishonest people in the media, keep giving Donald Trump a little more wiggle room. Even the Associated Press refused to say that Donald Trump's remarks about how we're the only country that has birthright citizenship, even the AP refused to call that a lie, to the point where so many people got pissed off on Twitter today that the AP had to actually rescind that headline and clarify that Donald Trump was inventing the idea that America is the only country that has birthright citizenship.
This goes back to what I said on last week's show, which is a lot of traditional sort of old line editors believe that you cannot, should not use the term lie in journalism unless you can prove that the liar had intent to deceive.
Yeah.
For example, when Trump says something like that, you and I both, I think, know pretty clearly that he's not saying that just to inflame people.
Yeah.
He's saying that because he's ignorant and believes it. So this would cast reasonable doubt on whether or not he intended to mislead. He did intend to use that information to lead people in a certain direction, but it's questionable as to whether. Now, again, I'm not defending this decision. I'm just saying that's their line of thinking. I don't play that game. If it's a lie is an untruth. A lie is the opposite of the truth. If someone tells the opposite of the truth, they are lying regardless of their intent. Mm-hmm. So I am less shy about that. This is not a good time to beat up on the press when the press is being sent bombs.
That's true.
It isn't a good time to beat up on George Soros for sending money to the migrants so they can come to America. You know, this is not the time or the place for that. Each of these groups under attack, whether it's gays or transgenders or journalists or Jews or black people or Latinos, immigrants, this is a time to band together and not fight each other, but stand together against Trump. I read an interesting article today, by the way, about progressives and moderates inside the Democratic Party and how they still viciously disagree on some important points. They are united in defeating Donald Trump. This is what the indication is now. This was what my hope was, that somehow, despite our differences, we could stand together against Trump. And I think gays need to stand up for journalists, and I think journalists need to stand up for blacks, and I think we all need to have each other's backs.
Yeah.
At a time like this, and the sniping is not so necessary. Again, not defending AP, just saying you're shooting at the wrong target, I think.
Yeah, good point. I concede that point. But I will balance out my prior remarks about the press here, specifically Jim Vandehei and Jonathan Swan from Axios, by bringing up this Shepard Smith audio, because this here's
before you do, and I think that's I didn't mean to screw up your transition, but I did want to respond to that thing that you said about their work. Sadly, the Axios boys, that's hard to say, a lot of diphthongs in there. The Axios boys.
There's the name of the show, Diphthongs.
Have learned from the best and the worst. I see cases every single day on television where reporters are asking questions of the president and they don't challenge him. They don't ask him the facts.
Yeah.
So the fact that the Axios fellows didn't do that doesn't make them, unfortunately, terribly different from other journalists that I've seen, with the exception of Leslie Stahl and a couple other people who've shown some real cojones in interviewing Trump. Most just ask stupid questions and provide no context, nor do they challenge the president when he's wrong. You're seeing it a little more, but this should have been happening since the campaign. That would have been helpful. And it hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. So again, not just the Axios boys, but you have nailed a complaint I have about the entire media. And then, as you were about to say, there is this occasional light of hope from the Fox News Channel.
There you go.
By the way, in the middle of the day, not prime time. They wouldn't dare put this man on in prime time.
No. Here's Shepard Smith in the middle of the day yesterday, speaking the truth inside the bubble, and the very nature of Shepard Smith doing this inside that hermetically sealed bubble of crazy people is absolutely something to be applauded. Here's Shepard Smith from yesterday.
The migrants, according to Fox News reporting, are more than 2 months away.
2 months away.
If any of them actually come here. But tomorrow is 1 week before the midterm election, which is what all of this is about. There is no invasion. No one's coming to get you. There's nothing at all to worry about. When they did this to us, got us all riled up in April, remember? The result was 14 arrests. We're America. We can handle it. But, like I said, a week to the election, and Jennifer Griffin's on it from the Pentagon.
Yeah. I'm a shy possum.
Done. He has shined a couple of times, and this is certainly one of those. Like I said, they just don't have the guts to put him on in prime time, because prime time is entertainment programming. Seriously.
Right.
It is. It's classified as entertainment programming.
It is.
And if you want news from the Fox Channel, this would be the time of day, Shep's time, it would be the time to tune in. But I still think it best to avoid the whole thing.
Well, you know, I mean, if you need another example of how Donald Trump is complicit in everything awful that's happening right now, whether it's the shootings, whether it's the bombings, whether, you know, all of it. We only need to look back to this news from the other day, in which we heard that Ivanka and Jared, or as they're referred to, Javanka.
Don't do that. No, do that in front of me.
I will, in my defense, say that it is ironical that I am saying it like that. The fact is that Ivanka and Jared, Javanka Buzz, had to convince Donald Trump to make a strong statement denouncing the anti-Semitic massacre at the Pittsburgh synagogue, right?
And Jared had to come out and said, "My father-in-law is not an anti-Semite."
Jesus Christ.
When it's like that, you know, it's less convincing when it's under these circumstances, I think.
The deadliest attack on Jews inside the United States in American history, and Donald Trump had to be talked into saying something because, you know, fluffing his red hats with all of their biases and all of his crazy talk was way more important than getting somber about a mass shooting like that.
He was the president of the United States, was so moved by the tragedy that unfolded in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He went to a political rally and tweeted about the World Series. This is, and I had a discussion with a conservative relative earlier today.
Wow.
Who said, you know what, he would be criticized no matter what he did. If he didn't go, he would be condemned for not being compassionate. You want to know why we think he would be compassionate? He tweeted about the World Series after the worst slaughter of American Jews in history.
Yeah.
This is why he has that reputation. I said to this relative, if somebody died and you didn't know them and you decided to go to their funeral and the family asked you not to, you wouldn't still go.
No.
Because you had been asked not to. And yet he insisted on going anyway because, you know, there's an election a week from today.
Yeah, well, none of that news will make it through the surface tension of that crazy bubble, the red hat bubble. None of that news that he was asked not to attend will make it to the Fox News audience, nor the AM talk radio audience. And so he doesn't regard that as an actual impediment to him showing up, because all that matters is whatever they see. Again, we're talking about two optics, histories happening simultaneously. Yeah, exactly.
The soldiers sent to the border. Order. Optics. Trump
exactly.
Going to Pittsburgh. Optics.
Mm-hmm.
These threats of denying citizenship to children born in the U.S. to immigrants. Optics. It's all for show. Again, these are terribly frightening prospects that we cannot completely rule out, but mostly think aren't likely.
Yeah.
I think there are going to be some investigations pretty soon, and I think we're before the congressional investigations begin. I think Robert Mueller is going to give them a lot to work with, because again, in the last 60 days, in the last 2 months, while we've been occupied by Trump's dizzying whirlwind of crap, while all that's been going on, Mueller's been just getting tons of information out of Trump's campaign manager, his personal attorney, and others, and he's going to have quite a case, I think. And I think and hope, as I said, we'll see a string of indictments after the election.
Yeah, and you know, one more thing I want to mention before we talk about Mueller here in a second is this counterpoint that we've been hearing from Donald Trump and Fox News Channel, that somehow Donald Trump's rhetoric and his overt threats on repeated, and in fact, he repeats these things, the same language in rally after rally after rally. So it's not just one incident of what I'm about to say, but many incidents of what I'm about to say, which is Donald Trump saying, knock the crap out of them, beat the shit out of them. If you do it, then I'll defend you in court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these threats combined with enemy of the people, combined with lock her up, combined with, you know, his usual enemies list that he enumerates at every rally. You cannot possibly begin to compare that with the fact that a Bernie supporter shot Steve Scalise. These are two extraordinarily different things. First of all, this is the president. And those of you who've been reading my work for the last week or so have seen this already. But the fact is that the president should be held to a higher standard. The president is, you know, the president. The president is not Senator Bernie Sanders. If we're going to hold Donald Trump to the standard of a United States senator, then let him resign and run for Senate. And then we'll hold him to the standard of a senator rather than, you know, the leader of Article 2 in the Constitution, the leader of the executive branch of the United States government. The president is the leader of the free world, ostensibly. And I know we can argue and say, well, it's Angela Merkel. But typically speaking, the president is regarded as the leader of the free world, and he should be held to that standard. And if he goes around telling his people to knock the crap out of liberals, then he needs to be held accountable when his people actually go out and knock the crap out of liberals, when they take him literally and do it.
And some of them are driving around, as I said before, with bumper stickers that say, something about fight for the truth, punch a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a sentiment that's out there that he, again, throws gasoline on. It may seem like a very long time ago, considering all that we have been through together, but it hasn't been that long since we were using the phrase false equivalency.
Yeah.
And that's what this is again. We need to remember that phrase and remember that it's applied to almost every situation by Republicans trying to equate some offense to something the Democrats did,
right,
or something else that happened, when in fact there is no equanimity between those two things.
Well, I want to take one last break, Buzz, and then when we come back, I want to get into the biggest example of fake news that we're going to see in the next 24 hours or so.
I only know a little bit about this, but I know enough to engage with you on this.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about Jacob Wall and Robert Mueller right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, do I need to say it? Anything that is tweeted or spoken out loud by this prepubescent Trumper youth kid, Jacob Wall, is 100% bullshit. Nothing he says is linked to reality or the truth. And
there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, and that includes this nonsense that's coming out today. Jacob Wall is a red hat. He's one of the more prominent red hats. He's like 4 years old, and everything that Donald Trump says and tweets, Jacob Wall jumps into the thread and starts screaming about how Donald Trump is the greatest president in the history of the world. He spreads misinformation. He is a paid propagandist. He is someone a lot like Jack Posobiec or Candace Owens who collects a paycheck to support the Donald Trump administration. And we know this for a fact. And I'm not even going to go down the road of suggesting whether or not Jack Posobiec and Jacob Wall and Candace Owens and some of the others, Charlie Kirk and the rest, are getting paid by Moscow. But the fact is that they are now saying, and specifically Jacob Wall is saying, that in the next 24 hours, sometime between now and Thursday, they are going to announce that Robert Mueller is being accused of sexual assault. He said here this morning, several media sources tell me that a scandalous story about Mueller is breaking tomorrow. Should be very interesting. Stay tuned. To paraphrase Will Bailey from The West Wing, his sources are probably a sock puppet and a beanie baby. That's what that's what amounts to Jacob Wall's sources in all of this. Then there's another tweet that was just issued by a guy named Jack Berkman, and this seems to be going around quite a bit. It says here, some sad news on Thursday, November 1 at the Roslyn Holiday Inn at noon. Okay, so now he's saying Thursday and not tomorrow. Nevertheless, at the Roslyn Holiday Inn at noon, we will reveal the first of special counsel Robert Mueller's sexual assault victims. I applaud the courage and dignity and grace and strength of my client. That's the broad stroke of what is going around now today. So obviously this is a major effort, probably again, much like suspending birthright citizenship and all the rest of it. This is merely a cosmetic move intended for the midterms, intended to screw everything up, to scramble the board right before the midterms.
Do you know anything about hillreporter.com? Because I'm looking at a story they have here, and the headline is Special Counsel Alerts FBI of Scheme to Pay Women to Accuse Mueller of Sexual Assault. The story goes on to say that a number of journalists and others have been offered money if they can provide some information about Robert Mueller and a woman. This HillReporter.com investigated and said they have found no evidence of any such thing.
Okay, well, yeah, I've got this in The Atlantic, too. The Atlantic's Natasha Bertrand is now reporting Mueller wants the FBI to look at a scheme to discredit him, an alleged scheme to pay off women to fabricate sexual assault allegations against Special Counsel Robert Mueller has been referred to the FBI for further investigation. Quote, when we learned last week of allegations that women, this is last week, that women were offered money to make false claims about the Special Counsel, we immediately referred the matter to the FBI for investigation, said Peter Carr, who's a spokesman for the Special Counsel's office. That appears to be the accusation. It says here, the Special Counsel's office confirmed that the scheme was brought to its attention by several journalists who were told about it by a woman alleging that she herself had been offered roughly $20,000 by a man claiming to work for a GOP activist named Jack Berkman. Did I just mention that? That name right there?
Yeah.
So this guy, Jack Berkman, offered a woman $20,000, and she went to the press. And so then the press went to the special counsel's office in turn. So this guy, this GOP activist named Jack Berkman, to make accusations of sexual misconduct and workplace harassment against Robert Mueller. Why suddenly now is it, Robert Mueller's been employed as special counsel since, what was it, May of 2017, for God's sake? So now coming up on 2 years, and now this comes out? Interesting. Interesting how the timing works on all of that. Plus, you'll notice that, let's see, where is this tweet here from Jack Berkman? Jack Berkman. And this should raise all kinds of red flags. His profile on Twitter says he's the host of Behind the Curtain, a national radio and TV talk show on Newsmax TV.
There you go.
Saturday mornings. So he's not just on Newsmax TV. He's on Saturday mornings on Newsmax TV.
2 a.m.
Just like being a second... 2 a.m. My God. It continues here by saying he's a registered lobbyist. There's another big red flag. Conservative news and commentary. Subscribe to our podcast. So he's got a podcast, too. So I think we get a sense of what this is all about. And, you know, just the very nature that Jacob Wall, of all people, is attached to this story just emphasizes and underscores how it is 100% unadulterated bullshit. And what you know what it screams out to me? And Rick Wilson tweeted something along these lines earlier today. Desperation, yes. But you know what it screams out? Screams out Roger Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Stone is in deep trouble right now. Roger Stone is about to be indicted like any day.
Yes, I think so. I think he'll be one of the people indicted after the election. And that's where this, like I said, really starts to get interesting because we get even closer to the president at that point.
Yeah, and we know also that Roger Stone has many links to these, as I call them, Trumper youth. These young guys and women who are... somehow sudden Trump supporters. You know, it's just like, to me, it screams out suspicious, just like the walk away thing is suspicious to me.
Well, they saw his shirtless pictures and they were in.
That's right. His sexy nipples. Roger Stone's the Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is utter horseshit. This is another sad, flailing attempt.
Both of these guys are trolls. I did a little research there while we were talking about it, and it's crystal clear.
Oh, you know, one thing I wanted to actually, you know what? I'm not going to mention it. I almost did, and I didn't because I didn't check with her first. But, you know, just sending out good vibes to Jillian Barbary. I just want to mention that because I was scrolling down Twitter and saw her name come up. Anyway, so this totally smells like Roger Stone. The other news along these lines is that it looks like Julian Assange's time at the Ecuadorian embassy is coming to an end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't keep up with the rent payments?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But it looks like what will happen is he's going to be possibly extradited by the UK back to the United States to be prosecuted. But that leaves a big question mark, which is, will Donald Trump pardon Julian Assange. And we've already heard Donald Trump say on repeated occasions.
Yeah. WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
He loves WikiLeaks. And so who knows? Who knows? To protect his own ass.
That would be huge, though, if Mueller could land a Julian Assange. That would be something I would tune in for.
Yeah, absolutely. So these are all things that we want to keep an eye on just from the perspective of veracity and truth.
My eyes are tired.
Yeah, I know. I know, but, you know.
it's our job. We have to do it. Yeah, we have to do it.
At this point, maybe a little bit less of it would be in order, I think.
Yeah, that would please. That would be so nice.
Yeah, just a
bit. I would like to do a shorter newscast.
Yeah, I know.
It just keeps getting longer and longer because there is this huge pile of crap.
Well, honest to God, it makes me feel like I've got early stage dementia of some sort. And I'm not being flip about this, you know, because...
Yeah.
So many things are happening all at once. If I don't keep a running list of it, like an actual written list,
right?
Like I can't remember. I mean, it's just,
you asked me earlier, well, what do you do today? I forgot for a second, and that's because it's just this garden hose, this fire hose of stuff that keeps coming at us. As I said, always leave them laughing. We've learned now that the Canadian glaciers are melting, and that just since I was entering my senior year of high school, since 1970, we have lost 60% of the world's wildlife. Over the course of my adult lifetime, we have lost 60%, well over half of the world's wildlife gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yep.
And we have a president who wants more coal and oil and natural gas and isn't paying attention to what's going on. I think there's a motivated group of voters and a pretty good batch of candidates out there who would like to fix that.
The other thing, one week from today, vote. Exactly. You know, and the other thing that he wants to do is he wants to increase the deficit by another trillion plus dollars, which... We just learned about that today, so they're borrowing even more money, adding to the deficit.
He hopes to cover it with a loan from the Deutsche Bank.
That's right. Well, you know what? You know who he's blaming for the deficit? He's blaming the hurricanes and the fires.
So and of course George Soros.
That's exactly right. But the hurricanes and the fires, I've got some breaking news for Donald Trump. There were hurricanes and fires during the Barack Obama administration when the deficit dropped by $1 trillion.
But Soros paid these fires to show up.
God damn it.
Aren't you keeping up?
I haven't looked at Jacob Wall's Twitter feed anytime recently, so no.
I don't.
All right, the Postmortem Show is coming up next. Follow it on our Patreon page. Please support the show at our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or click the all caps Patreon link at BobSeska.com. Just $1 a month. You won't even notice. That's pennies per show.
$1.
Regardless, thank you for your support. We'll see you on the Postmortem Show. Bye-bye.